Welcome to Your Daily Dose with Bob and Nick. It's Bob. Ever wonder what it takes to become a professional improviser at the most popular improv theater in the southern United States? Ever want to know what separates those who find their way onto the main stage ensemble from those who are left at the stage door? If your answer to these questions is yes, then today is your lucky day. Nick and I are delighted to be joined by our friend, SAC Comedy Lab veteran and awesome human being, Jose Rodriguez. In this episode, Jose lights the pathway and offers some very grounded advice to anyone seeking to perform improv for a live audience here, there, or anywhere. Enjoy. You're doing a lot of work with our weekday crews, with our new up-and-comers.
Development group?
Yes, development group.
Is it SACS. Yours and mine? Oh, okay. It's SACS.
But it's a very diverse group of young people who are taking our stage now, and I haven't had the opportunity to host a show with them yet, but I'm looking forward
to that opportunity.
Yeah. I put myself in for it this month, but Richard got it, so I'll go for next month, see what I can do.
So how often are they doing shows?
So we audition them twice a year.
Yeah.
And it's an open audition. Usually we put it out to our graduates first and then open. And then we cast six people. So like the last session we had close to 70 people audition and six are cast.
Wow.
Mainly because we're trying to find more diversity for SAC. We're always needing more women performers at SAC. So, you know, and any talent. I mean, obviously we're looking for talent. So the model is we take these six participants that get cast and we ask them to block off 15 weeks because SAC might have things going on. So we have to close the theater for that day. And we offer them seven workshops and five performances.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
nice.
It's their own show with two ensemble members, guests playing with them. So they play the King of the Hill that we do on the weekends.
Yeah.
And then two of us jump in with them to give them notes, you know, real-time notes as to...
And this there's is an audience for that.
Yeah. They've had anywhere from... I think the smallest audience they've had is about 45, 50 people. And we had one of the first ones was like a sold out show. They had like 200 people.
So good.
Yeah. When's the next set of shows coming up?
Because
they just got
April 6th is the next one.
Oh, okay.
And then April 20th is the last one. And then they're done with this semester.
Got it.
Of it. And then we audition again in the summer. And then that's the winter
the
group.
Fall.
Yep. Yeah. Fall, winter group. Yeah.
Can they renew? Can people come back? And
they can audition again. Yeah. This last time we actually kept two of them, so we only had four spots when we auditioned, and we knew it because we had two of them that we wanted to see again, so we told them, you don't have to audition, we're gonna put you into the next group automatically.
That Josh and Mira,
that was Matthew and Nicole.
I have not met them yet. I gotta get it, because I love the fresh up-and-comers, that energy of being that hungry for the stage,
you know,
and I love it.
Well, I know us coming up through the SAC programs, I mean, one of the things I felt it missed back then was that, like, so many teachers and maybe people that wanted to push us to give their knowledge to us as we were coming up. So as we created this group, I was like, this is what it needs to be, is because it's five of us that are in the group that lead them. So they have five SAC instructors who are instructing them and then giving them hard notes, because another thing I talked about was I don't want to give them, hey, good job, you are supposed to do a good job. That's not going to help you get better. If I tell you good job, good way to do that scene, Nick, you did great, that doesn't help you next scene. Yeah, that's all you get.
Yeah.
But if I give you little details of like, hey, when you were in that scene, you need to work on your anding. You yesed everything, but you didn't give any information really back. You know, that you're like, oh, I got to work on that next time.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
That's where we grow. And I'm a huge proponent of take a note as a positive thing, not a negative thing. A lot of us hear a note and you close down. You're like, oh, they're telling me I didn't do good.
I regret that instead of looking at the next
thing.
Instead
of saying, this is a positive thing. This is going to get me better. What Bob just told me is going to help me get me better, not what Bob just told me it's breaking me. Ugh.
Yeah, because it's not a report card, right?
No.
It's notes. It's like gifts. We should really, you know, we talk about offers being gifts, right? Mm-hmm. Notes are actually bigger gifts. Offers are gifts to the character, and notes are gifts to the performer.
Yeah.
Because I like the level of notes that I see in the green room these days. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a higher level of honesty. I think there's...
People are telling each other the truth and being like, if you can't take notes, you can't be an improviser. I believe
you
that.
You can't do a lot of things. I mean, if you can't take criticism, right. as long as it's being put out there in a way that is intended to help you.
Yeah.
But it's constructive.
But it's tougher with improv because in another setting, it's usually somebody with either more experience
yeah.
or somebody who's your superior that's giving you this note. Improv is the only art form or the only thing where it's your colleague that's telling you,
that's a good point.
Hey,
yeah. Yeah.
When you came into the scene, this and this happened. I feel you should do this. You just got to take it as an opinion. That's their opinion. Just say, and I always tell all my students, just say thank you.
Exactly.
That's it.
Exactly.
It's a gift. Bob just gave me a gift of a note. All I'm going to say is thank you.
Yep.
And now I'm going to process it.
Yeah.
Because my only other alternative is for me to start defending myself, which I really don't like, where it's like, oh, well, the reason I did yeah. this was this and this, because that's going to make Bob go, you know what? I'm not going to give Jose notes anymore because
he
always defends himself. And it is. Yeah. So in essence, you're making it bad on yourself because now people are going to stop giving you notes, which is how we grow.
So then let me ask you this, because, you know, traditionally the a goal of a lot of the people who come here to go through the classes or who now have this path is to become part of the ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
So it was level 1, 2, 3, 4, the, what did they call this section?
Conservatory.
The conservatory.
And then we had some master classes.
Yeah.
Right. And then it was lab rats.
Then the lab rats, gen S, next gen.
So there were a couple of different ways to do that. And you don't need to do that. You don't need to become part of the ensemble. You could just take classes and be better at
100%.
Improv and things like that.
And a very, very small proportion of the people who start their classes here at SAC end up in SAC's ensemble. We discover some amazing folks in the course of what we do, but this is something that I have to sadly tell my level one students when they come in thinking, if I just go through all the levels at SAC, then I get a shot at being on the ensemble. And it goes, there's two things I think that go into being a member of SAC's ensemble. One, your basic skill and knowledge level about improv. You have to have a certain minimum of that stuff to be able to survive on the stage with our players. And the fit. And the fit is actually, it seems like it's almost more important than the skill level. Your comfort level in playing with people, your playfulness, your connectedness, your willingness to take chances, your willingness to make other people look good. You know, it's all these things that that go into the best ensembles that I see on our stage. All those things are very present, you know? And so it's a tough thing because some people treat it like it's a personality contest.
Yeah.
I mean, those who are being not getting in, we'll say.
Yeah, of course.
And the reality is when you're in that situation on the stage facing a live audience without a thought in your head and relying on whatever happens among you to work for the audience, the trust level is so high. It has to be that high.
Yep.
Because otherwise you take no chances and you put on a show that nobody really wants to watch.
And things I tell the students when they ask, because a lot of them ask a lot of times, you know, what does it take for me to get to the ensemble? And I tell them, don't put all your eggs in Sack's basket, first of all, because I'd say 1% of the people make it to the ensemble. And that's being generous. I'm like, number two, I can't teach you to be funny and I can't teach you to have a comedic voice. I can't teach your voice to come out. I'm like, I'm going to give you tools that'll help you with improv.
Yeah.
I'm like, the rest is up to you, but don't put all your eggs in Sack's basket. Find other alternative. Make your own group.
And you could use those tools on a number of different ways.
Helps with your job, helps with anything that you do. I mean, Bob, this is what he does, is teach people about this.
I got to teach improv to Leadership Orlando, new people this last week, to my actual students, to Disney Imagineers this week. It was really cool, fun. Yeah, and Nick knows because I take these skills everywhere. But it is, I agree with everything you just said there.
So then the classes are one path to the ensemble, and then this program is potentially another path.
Well, to our stage anyways.
Yes, the classes, through the classes, the only way you'll from the class make it to the ensemble is if a teacher gives a recommendation. They're like, hey, and it usually happens where it's like, hey, pay attention to Nick. He's in my class. Mm-hmm. He's going into the next level. Keep an eye on this kid. We don't want to lose him.
Hey, thank you for calling me a kid. I appreciate that.
Yes.
That's what happened with Brendan Jennings with James Newport. James Newport was like, dude, come over here. Because it was a level 2 class. And he was so brilliant in the very first class that we're all looking at each other going, who is this dude? I mean, we loved him, but it was like we were all outshone by him because he's fast and very funny. So you need the support of a teacher, and guess what? You need the mentorship of somebody who's inside, who knows what's going on.
Well, I'm saying through classes, that's the way to get we're going to pay attention to this person. But the other way, obviously, if they come through the auditions and they make this group, we are looking for talent. Yeah, I mean, there's no lie around it. We're looking for it. So from that group, if we see talent that we're like, hey, we need to see, like Bob said, how's their chemistry with the ensemble? We put them into an apprenticeship, 6 months, and then they play with us on weekends, just like we play. See if you have the chemistry. See if you have, if you keep learning and keep progressing, then the next step would be like, all right, we're going to invite you to the ensemble.
Yeah. Hey, it's Nick. Thanks for listening. That was a deep dive into the inner workings of SAC Comedy Lab, and I appreciate all the thought, energy, and passion that goes into teaching people and finding the players that get to be on stage. I'm such a huge fan of what they do there, and I think after around 30 years of going to shows at SAC, I can attest from firsthand experience that their formula is working. Have a great day.